It sounds great. Well, welcome to Rock Solid Faith. We are super excited to have you here with us. As I just said to you guys, and I'll say it to everybody online, wow, look at everybody coming in. What's up, people? Oh, it's the youth. That's what's happening. It's like, do they just wait for that last second until they have to come in and then come in? Yeah. Sounds good. So we're going to continue and talk about prayer. This is one of the greatest topics as a Christian that you can talk about, because this is how we really move God. This is how we get the things that we're praying for and we see them manifest in the natural. And so prayer is how we communicate with God. And what we'll do is we'll actually break down the different types of prayer. And have you ever done something one way and you thought it was the right way and you did it and you did it and you did it and you realized, wow, this is not producing the result that I want it to do. Like I've done this a million times and I'm not getting the result I want. And then you realize the whole time you were just doing it wrong. That's what happens with so many people in this topic of prayer. If we're, you know, there's different prayers that we're going to learn about. The prayer of supplication, the prayer of intercession. We're going to learn about the prayer of faith. We're going to learn about the prayer of agreement. All of these things are crucial. But if we're using the wrong thing at the wrong time, remember that God is a God of principles, of covenant, of laws. So he's established who he is, what he'll do, and how he actually operates. You know that our Bible is just an operations manual of God saying, okay, this is exactly what I'm going to do. This is exactly how I'm going to do it. If you want this result, do this, and this is how and this is going to be the fruit of that. So that's exciting, because as we dig into God's word, we see, wow, if I need to, you know, to pray for somebody that's you know, obviously not me, that has done something, I need to intercede on their behalf. That's a prayer we're going to learn about today. If I'm praying for God to do something in my life, that would be the prayer of supplication, where I'm standing in faith and saying, God, I'm believing you for this. And so today we're going to break down each one of these topics and each type of prayer that they are. And what's amazing is if you grab a hold of these principles, your life can never be the same again. Because once you learn how God operates, then you suddenly start to see that fruit that you've been wanting all this time. If you see me do really weird things with my hands, it's because I normally have a handheld mic. And so I honestly, this is probably like the third time I've ever preached. I've been preaching for like 5 years now. The first time I've ever preached without a handheld mic. So if I do weird things, that's why, okay? So let's dig into this topic of supplication. Supplication is one of the most common prayers that you are going to do on a daily basis. Can I stress that we should be doing each one of these prayers on a daily basis? It should be part of our life. It should be part of our prayer time in the morning, in our car rides, at night, you know, with our family. We should be doing these things and making a habit and a principle so that we can see growth. You know, when we were being raised, my dad burned this into our mind. Consistency is everything. It's really easy to do something really fast for a short period of time, but true faithfulness is proven over time. And consistency is important for your life and your prayer life specifically. So the prayer of supplication, we're about to define it right now. A prayer of supplication is a petition or a request, a humble, earnest, detailed prayer. This tool in your toolbox is the one where you get detailed. You know, there's this ideology in really old school Christianity, oh, well, I don't want to ask God for too much. I don't want to burden God. I'm just really confused, because if God is all-powerful, all-knowing, first of all, he knows your desires before you even speak them. You just have to speak them to activate your faith. But if he knows everything, he has all power, he can do anything that he really wants as long as we do our part, how are we burdening God? You know, there's so many times in the scripture where it says, ask, 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 ask. If you just ask. So many Christians, they don't want to put a burden on God by asking, but God's sitting there saying, ask away. I want to give you the desires of your heart. I want to help you. I want to build you. I want to make you successful and prosperous in all that you do. And, you know, one of my favorite examples from my personal life for the prayer supplication is, you know, when my wife and I were in Bible school, we ended up moving to South Africa for our third year practical internship year. She really wanted me to see her culture, where she's from, and all these things. And I wanted to see all of those things as well. And then they have a really big ministry out there, and I wanted to participate with that. So we went out there. We were in South Africa. The whole year, I saved up finances because, you know, I knew we were going to make a step, and I wanted to buy a house rather than rent a house. So I talked to my wife, or she wasn't my wife at the time, and she's like, in a house, what do you want? Because I wasn't just going to pray and be like, God, I want a house. Because that's when you end up with, you know, a house that you really don't want, but you got a house because you asked God for a house. I was believing something specific. This is the prayer of supplication that we prayed, okay? And so I asked her, what do you want in a house? And I knew I wanted a 3-bedroom. I wanted more than one bathroom so that you can kind of have that, like, privacy of your own bathroom. And, like, when people are over, we're always hosting. And, you know, it's just super awkward when everybody's going up to your personal bathroom. So I was like, all right, I want 3 bedrooms over 1 bathroom. We wanted hardwood floors. She wanted carpeting. We wanted all of these things, and we made a list. And so during my prayer time every day, I would just confess these things. I would, you know, remind God through the prayer of supplication, and I would put my earnest desires, my petitions, the things that I desired out there for God to know. And so we prayed and prayed and prayed, and we went on this house hunt. And we looked, I'm telling you, I lived on Zillow, Realtor. I lived on these sites every single day, going through. We looked at a ton of houses, and none of them met the requirements, or they were just way out of our price zone. So finally, we came to the position, we were looking at a house, and the house we looked at was trash. It was awful. It was terrible. But then our real estate agent looked at us, and she's like, there's actually a house that opened up today. There's no pictures on it. We can at least just go walk in, check it out, see what it looks like. It can't be any worse than the house you just looked at now. And so we go, and we are actually FaceTiming from South Africa, and she's walking through the house, and we're looking at this house. The guy's completely remodeled the kitchen. He's completely remodeled both bathrooms. He's completely redone everything. It's 3 bedrooms, 1.5 bath that has everything on our list, and it's at the lower end of our price range that we wanted. Almost $20,000 less than what some other houses we were looking at that didn't even have those things. And so, like, in that moment, we're like, that is the Lord. We'll take it. And we, you know, we ended up buying that specific house. But if I wasn't specific with my request, we could have ended up with anything. We could have ended up with whatever came our way. And that's why you don't need to be afraid to ask God for things. He's a big God. He's an all-powerful God. He is a God that can provide, and not just provide just barely enough, but more than enough. And so when we attach our faith and make our supplications to the Lord, we want to be specific. So let's just talk to some people right now, all the singles out there that are looking for a spouse. Don't take the first bum that walks in off the street, all right? Don't take the first bum that walks in here. You have to make a list. And then we always tell people, if you're making a list, you better know that somebody else is making a list, and you need to meet those requirements of the same list that you're making for your spouse. So make a list. Set down specific things that you're believing God for, and make supplication to the Lord for it. Many Christians have just been taught that you just pray, and you're happy with whatever you get. Well, whatever the Lord gives me. Well, the Lord is going to give you what your faith is attached to. So whatsoever you believe, you'll receive. So if you're believing, and this is why we need to break that poverty mindset within the church. Because if you're just believing for something average or basic, that's exactly what you'll get, because that's what's in your heart. But when you would actually dare to believe God for big things, to stretch your faith and say, God, I know you can do this for me. And suddenly you'll start to see, wow, I serve a big God. I serve a God that provides more than enough, not just getting me to scrape by and barely make it. God's response to a pure heart, and when you are detailed, God responds in the details. God is a detailed God. And this is so cool, because look at a tree. All right, even checking out a tree, we're in, getting ready to come into spring. Are we in spring? I feel like we're in spring. It doesn't look like it yet, but we're getting ready to come into spring. You're going to see leaves start to sprout and start to grow, and you're going to see flowers bloom. And God is such a detailed God. It's so cool to see that even in that flower, there's petals. And then even in the middle of the petals, there's some form of pollen. And each little speck has its own individual purpose and could fly. Or, I mean, it's just amazing. God isn't scared of the details. He's actually in the details. So when we get intimidated by saying, oh, you know, I don't think he really cares that much. No, he cares so much. I mean, have you ever looked at what's the workings behind an eyeball? It's one of the most fascinating things. It's so in-depth. Nobody could accidentally do that. God is a detail-oriented God, a specific God. So don't be scared to step into that dimension and say, all right, God, I'm making a list. You know, we challenge you all in January every year to make something called a faith wall. I love faith walls. They're one of my most favorite things that we do as a church because it sets an expectation for the year. Do you know how many people live year by year and have zero expectations? They see zero growth. They see zero increase. What's amazing is that as we challenge you to make that faith wall, you're stretching yourself and saying, God, I'm believing for you to do something better than where I'm at now. I'm stretching where I'm at so that I can see where you want me to go, and you're going to pull me along each and every step of the way. When you pray, be specific. Acts 1:14. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Be watchful to this end with all perseverance and with supplication for all the saints. You're making petitions. You know, what is a petition? You have a cause or a stance that you're making, and you're listing those things of why it should happen, right? You're actually like petitioning before the Lord. Lord, you said in your word that I can have this. And that's why in your petition, you need to have scripture, right? Because God doesn't confirm your opinion. He confirms his word. So God, you said in your word that if I ask and believe that I would receive it. He says that all of these different things, and so you want to attach scripture references and actual Bible to what you're praying, because as you're speaking the word of God, the Bible says that you're reminding him of his word, and he will look over his word to ensure that it's performed. So whatever you need, whatever you're believing for, God is there, and you pull from heaven down to earth by this prayer of supplication. Philippians 4:6-7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. And what we go into next is that you need to be a seeker. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7-11, ask and you it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and a door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be open. Or what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does your Father in heaven want to give good gifts to those who ask? And this is a big thing that we need to work out in our spirits, that God wants to meet your need. There's really bad ideologies out there that God wants you to suffer so that you can be a better Christian. That's nonsense. And I can prove it in this. Let's look at Old Testament scriptures. When people were obedient, okay, what was the reward that God gave them? He didn't say, you've done such a good job that I'm actually going to take everything you have and then make you suffer for the next 20 years because you were so amazing and you fulfilled that task. That's not what he did. Isaac sowed seed in a time of famine, and God made him like one of the most wealthy people in the entire area at that time. David was known as a man after God's own heart. So when David was faithful, his kingdom became one of the most powerful kingdoms in the entire earth. God rewards you because he loves you. And that's important because until we, and this is also a thing we need to take into account. Many times people see God as however their natural father was to them. So I see this a lot of times that somebody had a rough childhood. Their dad may have been, you know, a pretty rough guy, and he was always putting the hammer down, and every time they made a mistake, he was riding them and making them feel worse about the situation and was never really building up and made everything a struggle. And so when people go to God, they see God the Father the same way they see their natural father. And that causes a deficiency because we can only exercise our faith to the level that we believe or that we see him. How we see him is how we're going to receive from him. So if you don't believe that God wants to bless you, you're never going to be blessed. Because God, in the kingdom of heaven, he operates through the currency of faith. Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what we like to joke around and say, the currency of heaven. It's how you move God. It's how you shift God. And God is standing in heaven saying, I'm your father. I want to give you good gifts. I want to pour you out some blessings. But you need to activate your faith so we can pull it down. So you need to be a seeker. There are so many scriptures, and I love these scriptures. They make me laugh about people who were persistent receiving from God. You may say, well, I've asked him a few times. Well, let me tell you about a story about a lady in the Bible. So this woman was going before a court, and the judge had to make a ruling on her behalf. And he went to her, and she, you know, made her cause, and he said, I don't fear man, and I don't fear God, so I'm not going to do this for you. And she kept nagging, and she kept just being annoying. She kept petitioning. She kept making requests. She kept going and going and going and going. And eventually he pulled her back, and he said, I don't fear God, and I don't fear man, but you've annoyed me so much that I'm actually just going to give you what you want because you've just been so persistent. God likens that to the kingdom of heaven. So if you've been asking for something and you haven't been seeing it happen, don't be scared to ask again. Don't be scared. And actually, in the language of Matthew 7, if you study out the word ask, it means continually ask. Now, what's important also is that you have to ask in faith. So if you've been continually asking and nothing's been happening, maybe you need to shift your faith or give yourself a faith injection through the word of God or through a service or through just filling your spirit, man, and stretching it, then that may be another thing. But don't be scared to ask God for something. The second one, so that one was what? Supplication. All right, let's try that again because we got one response. So that last prayer we just covered was what? All right, I need to hear it from the youth girls right over there. The last prayer that we just covered was what? Oh, yeah, so much less, like, you know. So, but we love you guys. Thank you. You know, so intercession is our next one. Intercession is fun because it's not all about you, right? If you're not interceding during your prayer time, you're really missing a large portion of it because God asked us to be servants, right? And, yeah, we want to be blessed, but if you're spending, you know, 15 minutes praying, God, I want this, I want that, I want this. And you know what? You can throw that on top and that on top. And I'm really believing for this. And then you spend a minute like, oh, yeah, and my Uncle Ricky, you know, he's not doing very well. Help him out. Amen. You know, you don't want that to be your prayer time. It needs to be a healthy balance. I mean, I've been convicted a few times where you're just praying about yourself, your needs, your issues. And suddenly God's like, what about my people? What about your cousin? What about your friend? What about your family member? And suddenly it drops and you're like, oh man, I haven't even considered anybody but myself. And you know what's funny is a lot of times when you shift your focus from you to somebody else, you start seeing breakthrough in yourself because you stop overstressing about everything and getting anxiety and focusing so much that you couldn't do anything else. As soon as you shift your focus, a lot of times God's like, oh, there you go. Intercession. The definition for this is standing in the gap in prayer between God and a person or people who have provoked judgment on themselves. And so this story below in Genesis, I'm going to read part of it. I'm going to summarize part of it. It is this story about Abraham making intercession on behalf of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. Okay? And so Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? So Abraham's actually having an argument with God. Don't be scared to be real with God. He actually, the Bible says in another area, that the effectual, heartfelt, fervent prayer of a righteous person prevails. So don't be scared to have an actual, like, heart-to-heart conversation. You don't need to say all the these and the vows and say all the good spiritual words and put in all your theological words too. You just speak from your heart. And God hears your motives from your heart. It's really less about your words and more about your position. So Abraham said, would you judge the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there were 50 righteous people within the city. Would you destroy the place and not spare the 50 righteous people that were in it? How be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked? Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? So the Lord said, if I find 50 people that are righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes. See right there, you kind of like humble yourself. You're like, I know I'm talking to God, so I'm not going to get too cocky. I'm not going to get too arrogant. I am nothing but dust, but God. Let me say, so that's kind of the position of Abraham right now. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all of the city for the lack of 5? So for 45 people, would you do it? So he said, if I find there 45, I would not destroy it. And he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. Then he said, let not the Lord be angry and I will speak. Suppose 30 will be found there. So he said, I will not do it if there are 30. And he said, indeed now I have taken upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 shall be found there. So he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20. Then he said, let not the Lord not be angry and speak once more. Suppose 10 should be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So during this conversation that Abraham is having with the Lord, this is called intercession. He's interceding. He's praying on behalf of another person or group of people. And can I challenge you? I bet if Abraham went all the way down to 1, God would have spared it for the 1. But Abraham stopped at 10. But just so you know, he didn't find 10 righteous there. And I'm sure if he would have gone all the way down to 1, there would have been no righteous there, because he tried to save the only righteous, which were really slandered righteous with Lot and his family. So intercession is when you're praying on behalf of somebody else, on somebody that has caused some form of judgment, some sort of infliction, some sort of negative thing upon their self, and you're pleading on their behalf to God so that whatever judgment they deserve, they won't receive. So they'll get mercy, which is when you don't get what you do deserve. I like mercy. You know, has anybody ever screwed up once or twice? Maybe like made one mistake? Anybody made 10 mistakes in their entire life? We've got some pretty perfect people sitting around here. I appreciate you guys. You guys will be praying for everybody else after the teaching. Abraham stood between God and man and interceded for the souls in Sodom. God was going to destroy, but because of Abraham, God recanted and stayed the judgment even for a time. Abraham changed history for a period of time by interceding for a city. You can intercede for a city, for a person, for a group of people. You can pray, and ultimately it's up to the mercy of God, because anybody you're praying for deserves judgment. They deserve whatever they get because they've committed some form of sin, some form of separation from God, and so they deserve whatever is coming their way. But you can pray and say, God, have mercy on them. God, protect them. God, even in their ignorance, help them out. And remember, mercy is not part of our covenant rights, all right? So if you're praying for somebody for mercy, they don't automatically get that. Now, if somebody's standing in covenant with God and they ask for forgiveness, they'll be forgiven, right? But if they're outside of the covenant, you can plead for mercy on their behalf, but it doesn't automatically happen because it's just God making a decision for that specific scenario, whether he'll provide grace or not. So as we continue, Psalm 106, 19 through 23, they made a calf in Horeb, which this is talking about when Moses went up to the mountain and he was getting the Ten Commandments. While he was gone, the Israelites freaked out and they said, Moses died up there. We need somebody to serve. We need a God to protect us. Let's make a golden calf while Moses is up there having an encounter with God. So they made this golden calf and began to worship this calf while Moses is literally meeting with God just a little bit away. So just for context for this story as we read it. And they worshiped this molten image. Thus they changed their glory into the image of an ox that eats grass. They forgot God their Savior, who had done great things in Egypt, wondrous works in the land of Ham, awesome things by the Red Sea. Therefore he said he would destroy them, had not Moses, his chosen one, stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he destroy them. So in that moment, Israel had earned judgment, right? They rejected God. They said, we're no longer going to serve you. We're going to serve your creation rather than the creator, right? That's Romans 1. We're going to serve the creation. But Moses saw that the sin was happening, saw that the judgment was coming, and said, I need to pray on their behalf so they don't get what they do deserve. As a believer, you have this responsibility. You can pray some things, you know, and I know for a fact that as I was my rebellious pastor's kid and out doing all sorts of nonsense and all sorts of sins and stuff, I had some people interceding for me, like my grandmother, my father, my mom, and I guarantee I didn't get what I deserved because I deserved a lot of stupid things. I deserved to get in a whole lot of trouble many, many times, but I had people interceding on my behalf, and so you never know the power of prayer. And this is what I say to mothers especially, because I have so many moms come to me and say, you know, I've been praying for my son I've been praying for my daughter for years and years and years, and it seems like nothing's happened. Nothing's broken through. They're just doing their own thing, and it's powerful because I know I'm a product of praying, you know, moms and grandmas and family members and things like that. So I know there's power in prayer. I had one woman come to me one time and she said, will you pray with me for my boys? They're living in another state right now. One's been hooked on drugs on and off. The other one's been doing really bad and their whole lives are a mess. So we prayed and just came in faith and we interceded for her boys. Within 2 weeks, both of her boys moved back from Texas, which was where they were. Both came back with them. Both came to church. Both answered the altar call, and both got saved within 2 weeks. That's the prayer of intercession. So for you, especially praying moms, praying dads, praying grandmothers, people that are praying on behalf, don't lose faith. Now, remember, you can't override somebody's free will. They have to come to the point where they decide. You can't pray somebody's salvation. You can pray that the Lord will give them an encounter. I don't hold back. Sometimes I'm like, Lord, give them a Saul to Paul encounter. Knock them right off their donkey. Knock them right off their horse. You know, knock them right off from where they're at. They need a radical encounter with you. I pray those prayers for some people because some people won't listen until they get slapped upside the head. You know what I mean? But don't lose hope in faith in your prayer as you intercede for somebody else. Don't lose hope as you're praying for a brother or a sister or a family member or a cousin or a friend or somebody that is separated from God, because it just takes one encounter. It just takes one prayer. It just takes one time, one situation, one instant where every single thing can change. So I just want to give you guys hope that have been praying for people. It can happen. Prayer is powerful. I even feel it now. Some people, they feel like they've just been praying up to nothing and nothing's been happening and they've seen no result. Your prayers are powerful. Don't lose hope in those prayers. Ezekiel 22, 30 through 31. So I sought for a man among them who would make a wall and stand in the gap before me in behalf of the Lord, that I should not destroy it. But I have found no one. Therefore, I have poured out my indignation on them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath, and I have recompensed their deeds on their own heads, says the Lord. You see, in this scripture, God was looking for somebody that would stand in the gap. Somebody that would intercede, somebody that would pray, somebody that would make that stand and do the right thing, and nobody did. And because nobody stood up, because nobody stood in the gap, he had no option but to give them what they did deserve, which was the judgment that he ended up pouring out. So don't think that your prayers are small. Don't think that your intercessions mean nothing. Just because you may not have seen results over a period of time does not mean that every single time you pray that you're not warring with the enemy, that you're not pulling that person just a little bit closer, that it could just be that one situation. You know, I know as somebody that was going through that process, I had so many times where I should have given my life to the Lord and did not. So I know those encounters, those experiences were because people were interceding for me. People were praying for me. And I had situations where, I'll never forget, I had one youth pastor come to me and talk to me. And he was like, Chad, why don't you just give it all to God? I was like 15 years old. And I looked at him, I was like, I don't really care right now. I'll worry about it when I'm older. You know, but that was a situation where I had a real, and I did some self-evaluation in that moment. And I was like, man, and I played like I was tough, and I was like, I don't really care. But in the moment, in my heart, I was like, wow, is this okay? Like, should I change? And then I got pulled away, but it took time after time after time. In each one, the Bible talks about a stony heart being chipped away. And I just pictured like each prayer just chipping a little bit away, just a little bit more, just a little bit more, until that person can feel something in their heart that will allow conviction to come in and then produce repentance. Joel 2:17, let the priests who minister to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, and do not give your heads to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? This is the prayer that of Jesus for us. He is interceding on our behalf. Do you know that? That Jesus himself is sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for you. Actually, if you want to study it out, we'll get theological for a second. There's something called perseverance of the saints. That as you get saved, you persevere. Now, we are very separate from Calvinistic beliefs where you can, once you get saved, you remain saved for your whole life. We believe that it's a relationship, and that as you continue and build that relationship, it's reestablished and your perseverance remains. It's not you pray a prayer once and then you're saved forever and you got your get out of hell free card. That's very different than what we teach. But there's something called perseverance of the saints. And did you know that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all working on your behalf so that you can remain saved, so that you can have a better relationship with God, so that you can grow in your life? God the Father is up there. His will and his purpose is that none should perish, but all should have everlasting life, right? So his desire for you is to go to heaven. His desire for you is to have a healthy relationship with him. And then he has his power. He promises that as you serve him, as you believe in him, you get this power from heaven so that you can live a supernatural life. Then you have Jesus who's interceding on your behalf. Do you know that God himself is praying for you? Praying for your future. Praying for your mistakes, praying for your decisions. He is praying for you so that you can live a healthy life, so that you can live a victorious life, so that you can live a prosperous life. So we don't see all these things, but all of these things are happening. Christ has unified with us, right? Because the Bible says that when we died with Christ, we rose with him and we're seated in heavenly places. So we're literally unified with Jesus and he's making intercessions on our behalf. The Holy Spirit's dwelling on the inside of us. The Holy Spirit's leading us and guiding us and helping us every single step of the way. So there is a lot going for you. Can I say that? You have a lot going for you. And as you have intercession in your life, know that Jesus is interceding the same way that we should be for other people. Right? If Jesus is doing it, then we should too. If Jesus thought you were important enough to pray for, that we should probably have some people that are important enough to pray for in our lives too. I actually have a list. A lot of them are like unsaved, like high school and college buddies that I used to party with that I know do not have a relationship with Jesus. I have a list of them that I go through, and I just intercede for every single one of them. I pray for every single one of them like I would want somebody praying for me. And you as a believer are equipped to pray on behalf for somebody else. Now, they do have the will, okay? So you can't override their will, but you can wear it down. You know what I mean? You can keep being consistent. It just takes one time for them to make that decision, and their life will never be the same again. Can I hear an amen? Is that all right? So the next prayer, it is one of my favorite. It's probably my favorite, the prayer of faith. This prayer is intermingled within every other prayer, right? You can't intercede without the prayer of faith. You can't do the prayer of supplication without the prayer of faith. Faith is required for every single one of these types of prayers. But the prayer of faith is important. The Bible says in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you receive it and it will be yours. Having no doubt, when you pray, it will be answered. Isn't that a crazy thing to think that you could pray to God and whatever you pray for God to do, he would do it? That's radical. That's insane, right? Because I'm sure we all have things that we're believing for in our lives. I'm sure that we all have some things that, oh, I just wish that could happen. I just wish that could happen. That's not the way to do it. Because the Bible says right here in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Now, he has it in the Amplified, so let me read it because it's a really good breakdown of it. Now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of the things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as fact what is not revealed to the senses. Exercising the prayer of faith is saying, although my five senses do not have it manifest in front of us, we know that as I prayed and declared it, it has already happened. Now I'm just standing in between. And my faith is that title deed, that ownership title, saying, I own it. It belongs to me. It's stamped by Jesus. Now it's just got to manifest. See, these are the ones I get excited about. They're a little more fun because, I mean, you can believe for big things in your life. There's a difference between faith and hope, though, okay? And this is a key. Hope is setting a goal. I hope I pass my test. Well, if you don't work towards it, you're not passing your test. I hope I can pay my bills. Well, if you don't pick up that extra overtime that you know you need to make sure those bills are met, then you're probably not going to get it. I hope that I can do this. I hope that I can do that. That's setting a goal. Goals are good, but faith is attaching to that goal, attaching the supernatural power of God to make sure that it's accomplished. So hoping is not enough, and having faith is being fully persuaded, right? Just like the Bible says in Romans, I think it's Romans 4:8, I want to say, that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God said he would do, he would accomplish. That's faith. And that's exciting. And when you get that kind of faith, suddenly things start moving. Things start shaking. Things start happening. Because faith is theory until it's tested. Just because you say you have faith doesn't mean anything until that test comes and you have something to stand on. Until you realize, actually, there's no substance to my faith. It was just hope. How do you build your faith? You read the Word of God. How do you build the faith? You pray to God. How do you build your faith? You surround yourself with other Bible-believing Christians that have faith too. Not the one that's going to suck the life out of you every time you're around them and just talk death and negativity and just complain about everything. That person will suck the faith right out of you. You'll be just like them in just a few months. Just wait. So you want to surround yourself with godly people that are going to believe for big things with you. That when you release something and say, I'm believing God for this, they're not going to say, oh, wow, you've got big ambitions. I actually heard there's a pastor talking about another pastor. And he's like, yeah, that guy's doing, you know, he's got all these things. And he said, yeah, he's got real big ambitions. And he said it sarcastically as if it would never happen. Like, that's not the person you want to surround yourself with that doesn't even believe the vision that God's placed on your heart. You want to surround yourself with people. When you release that faith, they say, I'm believing with you. We'll get into that next, the prayer of agreement. I'm coming in agreement with you. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10,000. Let's pray. That's the type of friend you want. But if you're not reading your word, if you're not praying, if you're not surrounding yourself with good people and surrounding yourself with good doctrine, because there's opposite doctrine that will teach you that God just wants you to suffer and scrape by every single step of the way. If you're suffering, good, that means God likes you. That's confusing to me. I'll never work that one out, but, you know, somebody came up with it. When I was in Bible school, this is fun, it was a class called Faith 2. And my teacher, she looked at us and said, well, Faith 2, we need to see that your faith actually has substance, right? So you need to believe for something tangible that after these 3 months, this semester, that will be manifest in your hands so that you can say that your faith has worked. That's a pretty big thing. So I started praying, okay, God, what do you want me to do? Because I had worked the whole year before and all over the summer, and I had saved up enough money to where I didn't have to work. It was supposed to last me my whole second year. Well, that didn't happen because of things like Starbucks and the beach and friends. So my 1 year supply quickly turned into a 6 month supply, and I had minimal money. I mean, I was getting ready to look for a job. I really wanted to focus on school during that period of time, though. And so I said, well, I need $3,500 to live for the next semester. So I'll believe for $3,500 because that's what I need, right? And so I applied my faith to it. I started praying. I started believing. So my job that I worked for, there was a return that you get around tax time because you generally have to pay out. And we had worked it all out. It's a certain percentage. I think it was 10% of all of my overall sales that I had commissions for. And so I got it back. And that number wasn't like a moving number. They knew exactly how much I sold, and they took 10% of it. So I was supposed to get about $1,500 back, and I knew that. Well, during tax time, I didn't get $1,500 back. I got $2,500 back. I was like, wow, that came out of nowhere. So I went to my boss. I'm like, they screwed this thing up. This isn't right. And so he's like, no, you're good. If they gave it to you, take it. And so there's $2,500. Awesome. Well, I still need to believe for 1,000. So then I had somebody call me. And listen, nobody called me during Bible school and said, hey, I want to support you monthly. So starting this month, I'm going to put $100 into your account, and I'm going to put $100 in your account until you're done with Bible school. That's awesome. Great gig. I'd never had that happen in my entire life. My church came to me and said, we see you've been faithful in serving. We want to help you financially. And I wasn't doing that, you know, faith with hints thing, like the, oh, Lord, oh, I'm believing for $3,500, and then you go and tell your friend, hey, I'm believing for $3,500. Then you go to your parents, hey, I'm believing for $3,500. And then you go to your friends and your everybody else, and you're just hoping and praying that somebody's going to catch that vision, right, and give you the $3,500. No, I wasn't playing the faith with hints game. So my church came to me, and they're like, we want to sow into your life because you've been so faithful. And they're like, do you have a car payment? And I had like a Nissan Altima. It was like $3,500. Like, it was golden, though. And I was like, yeah, I got a car payment. How much is your car payment? $100. Okay, what else do you have? Well, I've got insurance. That's $50. Okay, well, what else do you have? Okay, I've got rent. You know, that's $250. Six guys in a two-bedroom apartment. It was terrible. $250. And I'm like, okay. You know, and they're like, well, what else can we give you? And I'm like, man, I got $2,000 loan on my car. Do you want to pay that? And they're like, okay, guy. You're like, too far, too far. But they ended up giving me $500 for absolutely nothing randomly. So $500 came out of nowhere. Had another person walk up to me in church, hand me another $100. Another person hand me, and before I knew it, I was over $3,500 within 1 month of that time. Because that was the prayer of faith. That's what God does. When you attach your faith, it has substance. And suddenly, the supernatural moves, and he begins to speak to people. He begins to show people. But don't do that faith with hints thing. It's actually just off-putting and hideous. All right? You don't need to, like, I'm believing God for, you know, $1,500, and then you make a GoFundMe page, and then, you know, like, oh, God's going to provide. No, that just pray, ask God. God will make a way where there seems no way, not Facebook, right? Faith is believing that you have something before you can see it manifest. So it's that title deed, right? It's the one that's standing in the gap saying, it hasn't gotten here yet, but I know it's already happened. God is not moved by need. God is not moved by circumstance. God is not even moved by your tears. You can cry as much as you want, but unless faith is attached to it, God is not moved. God is moved by our faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So what you're going to find is, in the beginning, it sounded like God was a genie in a bottle, right? Like, oh, I could just say a prayer and poof, it happens. That sounds great. No, you're going to find that it actually takes work on your behalf. And the diligence that you seek God with will determine the reward that you get from God. Because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So you can't be a lazy Christian. You can't be a poverty. You have to actually apply yourself and work it. And we've seen people's lives changed so dramatically just by exercising faith. Faith is not this. I believe it when I see it. That's hope. That's maybe not even hope. That's a wish and a prayer. That faith is not, I believe it, I'll believe it when I see it. Faith is not, I can completely understand it, so now I have it. See, faith is supernatural. So your natural senses will not be able to fully comprehend faith. Now your natural senses can understand the process of faith, of how God works, of how you exercise, of how you believe, of how you pray, but it won't understand the actual supernatural part of it because that's God's part, right? I don't know what having faith is not, faith in faith, I'm not sure what that means. If anybody has a translation for me, I would be open for that. But if not, we're going to just move right along to that one. Anybody have a translation for what faith in faith means? Sometimes Pastor Spencer puts things down and, like, he's the only one that had the interpretation. So this is what faith is. God said it in his word. It is true no matter what the circumstances declare. So it's actually stepping out from your current situation, saying it may be all hell is coming against you. Nothing makes sense. Nothing is working out. Nothing is good. And stepping outside of that and saying, I understand what the natural circumstances are. So we don't deny reality because you're not a psychopath, okay? So you don't deny reality because reality is there. You're not crazy. Reality is there. So we don't deny that, but we understand that natural means will meet natural things. But supernatural things can overcome natural things and natural needs and things that seem like they're impossible. So your answer isn't in the natural, it's in the supernatural. So you're living outside of your five senses is saying, I get whatever the picture that's being painted right here, but I know what God's word said. I know that God said, by his stripes I am healed. I know that God said, ask anything in my name during prayer and I will give it to you. I know that God's word said that he wants you to be prosperous and he wants you to have increase. You know what's crazy? And this is just a side note for you. In Psalm 23, where it says, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. It goes all the way through. There's a point in the end where it talks about God preparing a feast, a table for you in the presence of your enemies. And then it talks about him anointing you Okay? When you study out that anointing, there's two anointings. So there was an anointing for position, like Samuel did to David. And then there's a second anointing. And if you actually have a New Spirit-Filled Life Bible in the NLT, you can look at this. It's right there. There's a secondary anointing that's prosperity and favor. And that's the anointing that David's talking about, that God is actually pouring prosperity and favor over you in the presence of your enemies. So even in your worst situation, even when it feels like all hell is breaking loose, even when it looks like there is no answer in the natural, God is pouring favor and prosperity over you and anointing you for a supernatural miracle. That's pretty exciting. I don't know about you. But that's why you got to read the word, because if you don't know those things, you can't believe it, right? If you don't know what to believe, you're going to believe anything. If you won't stand for anything, you'll fall for... If you won't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. There we go. We got it. I saw a hand. Yes. Okay, there we go. Gotcha. So it's the religious ideology of like, I have faith because I'm supposed to have faith. This is what... I know that if I'm not feeling well, I'm going to have... Sister Susie Lou and Brother Henry over here and all these people, they're going to come to me and say, well, we need to pray. So I guess I just need to have faith because you know you don't even have an option. No. Do you have faith in your traditions and in your religion, or do you have faith in God who actually does the work? Thank you for that. God holds his word above his name. That's Psalm 138, verse 2. That's exciting, right? That even, because the Bible says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. So if God's name has authority over, and you know what's interesting, actually, if you keep going, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess under the earth, on the earth, and above the earth. So he has authority over all of these dimensions, all three things that create an influence on our lives, but he holds his word above his name. So his word is even more powerful than the name that everything's bowing to. So what situation can he deal with? What situation can't he help you with? What? Tell me this. What is too big for God? Because I don't know a thing. I've seen blind eyes open. I've seen crippled people walk. I've seen hips grow in that were metal turned to bone. I've seen God do insane things through this prayer of faith, because faith is what operates in God's kingdom. See, this is that point where you're like, where pastor, preachers say, like, I just preach myself happy. That's what just happened right there. Faith can be measured. So, when you're saved, you're given a measure of faith, is what the Bible says. But then we see some other things like this. When the disciples were out on the boat in the water and the storms came and they went to Jesus and said, oh, we're all going to die, save us. He looked at them and he said, oh, you of little faith. If they had great faith, they could have done what he did. But they had little faith. Another time he said to somebody, oh, you of great faith. He said to the centurion man, I haven't even seen faith like this in all of Israel. Unseeable faith. That's the faith, the radical faith that other people don't have. I've just made up in my heart, I'm going to be the one. I'm going to be that one. I'm going to be the one that believes him all the way. Because what good does it do me to believe halfway? You don't get the results that you want. You don't get the promises of the Bible. You don't get satisfaction. You don't feel fulfillment in your purpose with God. And it's just boring. It sucks. Lukewarm Christianity is the most terrible thing because it doesn't satisfy you at all. I've just made the decision. I'm going to be the one that's fully persuaded. God, if you said it in your word, I'll look crazy to every other person. God, if you said it in your word, I will do whatever you tell me to do. Another time, the disciples actually prayed and said, increase our faith. So what we can determine is that faith is like a muscle. You need to exercise it. You see, when I first got saved, I was believing for $100 or $200. Then when I grew a little bit, I was believing for, you know, like $3,500. Then I was believing for a house. Then I was believing, your faith grows with yourself. So it, as you exercise your faith, suddenly it gets stretched. Your capacity increases, and you can believe for things that when you first got saved, you could never believe for. Your job as a believer is to increase your faith day by day by day. And I can't stress this enough. It's by reading God's word. I tell people every single day, if you don't read God's word, your life will never change. It will never change unless you're reading his word. If you struggle with reading, I tell people this. Turn the audio Bible on and follow along with it. Because you can turn the audio Bible on and then just lose it and lose focus and not really care. But if you're following along with it, you'll get it. There's so many different options to read the Bible. You need to be in prayer, spending time with Jesus, doing the prayer of supplication, doing the prayer of intercession, doing the prayer, we won't get to it because we're going to end it here, but doing the prayer of faith and the prayer of agreement. I knew I would never finish this. I wasn't even going to try. So you need to put these in your life, build them into your lifestyle, because whatever, let me challenge you with this. Whatever you aren't seeing manifest in your faith means it's not built in your spirit. So whatever you lack spiritually means you don't actually have a revelation on it. And what's really interesting is this. Your greatest revelation may be your greatest purpose. So that big thing that you've been working against, that you've been trying to believe for, so most of the time, like let's take, man, I don't remember if it was Kenneth Hagin or Lester Sumrall, but one of them had tuberculosis. For a period of time, and he actually believed God and got healed from it, and he was used in his greatest capacity in healing, because that was that breakthrough that he needed. And once he got that breakthrough, that's what God used him in. So a lot of times, your biggest obstacle is your biggest opportunity at the same time, because when you get that obstacle broken off and destroyed, you can now help set other people free, right? Because let's think about this. Let's go back to the boat. When the disciples were on the boat and the storm was coming, if you go back in that chapter, it says that other people followed Jesus and the disciples because they were going to the other side. So that storm, that situation, that wind and the rain wasn't just hitting the disciples' boat with Jesus in it. It was hitting everybody else's boat that was around, that was following them, right? Then when Jesus rebuked him and said, little faith, he walked out and calmed the winds and the rains, right? And said, peace be still. Guess what? He didn't just create freedom for the disciples and himself. He created freedom for every other person that was on that body of water. So don't believe that your breakthrough is just attached to you. Your faith will provide a breakthrough for everybody around you. Because when you get your miracle, you're going to testify about the goodness of God. And your testimony will overcome the enemy and raise other people's faith, right? So when our trust or faith in God is matured, faith coupled with the word brings the answer through prayer. This is my favorite scripture, John 10:10. The Bible says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I have come that you may have life and life more abundantly. You know, God gets blamed for a lot of things he never did. God gets a lot of blame on him. Well, he took my so-and-so. And just whenever there's a bad situation, people try to justify it by blaming it on God. But remember, Satan is the lowercase g, God of this world, right? So he's the one ruling here. And the only people that actually have authority over him are those that are believers that have covenant with God, that have learned to exercise their faith. So if anything's stolen, killed, or destroyed, that doesn't mean that it's from God. It's actually showing that the devil's the one doing that. God has come that you may have life and life more abundantly. That's his purpose for you. So when we pray, we can have faith that he's a good father and he wants to help us out and he wants to see us grow. We automatically think the devil is trying to steal, kill, and destroy our stuff and our situation. Satan does not need your job. Satan does not need your money. He does not need your house, children, health, or soul. Satan is actively trying to steal your faith. Because if he can steal your faith, he's got everything else. Because Satan doesn't want to just steal your house. He wants to kill you. That's one thing that we get confused. Like, we think Satan wants to play like patty cake with us or like hang out, and he just wants to make us our life a little hard. No, his ultimate goal is to steal your faith and steal your life, because he wants you to face the same punishment that he is, an eternity in hell. That's a real thing, and God is actively working, but whoever you choose is who you'll actually see in eternity. When we pray the prayer of faith, we can receive the answer before we can see it appear on this planet. This means we do not need to constantly pray about it. Once you pray, and this is what I want to encourage you to do, once you pray and ask God for it, after that one time, thank him for it. So God, I prayed for this. I'm believing that you did this. The next day, God, I thank you that this is on its way. God, I thank you that you've already provided this. God, I thank you that I'm already healed. God, I thank you that you've done this supernaturally in my life. And so, I'm going to tell a story and then I'm going to end. You know, there was a lady, and Pastor Spencer may have already told this, but there's a woman that got prayed for, and she had a giant tumor on her neck. And the preacher prayed for her and commanded that she was healed. And so they would, after the pastor and the services ended, the following week they had a prayer meeting, and they would do like a little testimony time. And every single week the lady would stand up and testify about how God healed her tumor on her neck. And it was huge. And the tumor was still there. But she was fully persuaded that what God's word said that was released over her, that she was healed. So then the next week she got up and testified again. And then the next week she got up and testified again. And then somebody went to the pastor and was like, it's a little ridiculous that this person's doing this right now. You should warn her and tell her to stop. So the pastor went to her and told her, you know, just keep it to yourself. So testimony time comes around. I just want to thank God that I'm healed of this tumor. I just want to thank God that this, she couldn't contain herself. And as she was thanking God, the literal tumor just fell right off her and hit the floor. Because she knew she was already healed. It just didn't manifest until it was actually challenged, right? Just think about all those people that were talking negatively. Just think about all those people. But when he recognized that, wow, that person is fully persuaded. That person has my heart. She'll get anything she wants. She can believe for anything after that. So the prayer of faith is very important. So today we talked about the prayer of supplication. Right? It's making your petitions, your requests known in a humble, earnest way to God. We've got the prayer of intercession, where you are praying on behalf of somebody or a group of people that have earned some form of judgment. And then we've got the prayer of faith, which is attaching supernatural faith to every single prayer that you pray and believing that although it hasn't manifest yet, it's already done. Does that make sense to everybody? All right, so let's all stand and get ready to pray. Pastor Spencer always says, don't come to the king's house without a gift. So after we pray, if you want to sow a seed, Chris will help you out with that. But let's pray and let's release faith into this room so that you can see what you've been praying for manifest, all right? And then once we pray, remember after this, you just thank him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, it's already done. Thank you, it's already on its way. Thank you, it's already accomplished. So, Father, we just thank you for who you are. We thank you that your word says that you want to give us good gifts, that you're actually looking for somebody that you can provide for and looking for somebody that has faith that can stand there and believe like you intended us to. So, Lord, just as Psalm 23 says that you are pouring favor and prosperity over our lives. God, I pray for a greater conviction for intercession. God, put it people in our hearts even now. Put groups in our hearts even now to pray for every single day so that we can see you move. God, we pray for even radical Saul to Paul experiences. We pray for those encounters that will shift people's lives. However you need to do it, Lord, prepare a way where it seems like there is no way. We call home lost sons and daughters that have walked away from the faith even now, Lord. We thank you that you're doing it. We release the presence of God to go stir their spirit man up right now in Jesus' mighty name. And God, we thank you for faith. We thank you for what we've been believing for. Let us be fully convinced of your word. Just as you said, when you pray, ask anything in my name. And if you believe it, you'll receive it. So we just release that supernatural faith right now. We just stir up every single bit of faith in every single person's heart, God. Challenge them to increase their capacity. Challenge them to believe bigger. Challenge them to believe for more. And God, we do it all so that we can lift your name up, so that we can make greater influence, so that we can see more souls saved, more lives changed, and more of this region impacted for the power of Jesus Christ. So God, we love you. Bless every single seed sown. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Amen. Love you all. Have an amazing week. Pastor Spencer will be back next Tuesday.